Chapter 16, Planet Igloo. If some science teacher hasn't told you that you and all matter are mostly empty space, let me be the first to inform you of your insignificance. Your empty space isn't vacant. There's something there, but it's not you. It's something else. Fanciful names like parallel universe are conjured to try and describe the fact that we are just an ephemeral space-time slot in a time-shared multiverse. Welcome to the planet Igloo. You'd be there now if we could but shift your temporal phase to a fractally different dimension. Igloo is the home of the Paraquins. It's where Alex would go if he but knew the way. The space in the human brain, taken up by ill-conceived notions, boundless worry and anxiety, bad taste and greed, in the Paraquin brain is used to convert natural forces into energy for transportation and other things. Fossil fuel is unknown. Airplanes with narrow aisles and no legroom just weren't invented. Great metal pigmobiles and highways with potholes and toll collectors never occurred. One simply decides where to go and goes there. Never a need to whack the kids in the back seat to keep them on their proper sides. However, Igloo has its own inherent frustrations. Even though there is a perfectly good sea, some of the fish have wings and must be caught with a butterfly net. Rather than rotate like other planets, Igloo rotates more like a clock pendulum. It goes halfway round, and then stops, and revolves back to where it started from. This causes its moon all kinds of grief. The moon starts to fall toward Igloo when rotation pauses, and then it flies back out again when rotation resumes. Rather than a normal orbit, it behaves more like the Dow Jones Industrial Average on bad and good days. Its motion is more like a car's in stop-and-go traffic. Depending on where you live, this oscillation affects your day. If you are right at the terminator between day and night, the sun rises at 6 a.m. and sets at 6 p.m., only to reverse course so that the next hour is 5 p.m. Thus, you never experience night. If you start the day where it's noon, you have 6 hours of daylight followed by 6 hours of night. The reversal takes place and you have 6 more hours of night followed by 6 hours of day, albeit backwards. There's no such thing as morning, but you get afternoons twice. This situation held back the art of clockmaking for several centuries until the first reversing clock was invented. Since no one could tell who was awake or asleep at any given time, the Paraquins never answered their communicators. An answering system does it for them. Igloo doesn't have a tilted axis like Earth. It stands up straight. Instead of four seasons, there is just one. A little too warm to be called winter and not quite warm enough to be called spring. We'll put winter and spring together and just call it wing. Young Paraquins can always find a snow-covered slope somewhere that they can slide down on their bellies. As they have no simple way to hold a pen other than with their beak, the Paraquins learn to use computers at an early age. The Brazil nut is a popular model. To move around on the screen, one uses a wireless fish. Of course, both humans and Paraquins start out hunting and pecking. Language is difficult to acquire. Human languages have tenses, masculine, feminine, and neuter noun sexes, the inevitable irregulars one must learn by rote, and words with the same meaning but which are used differently. The Paraquins have some of the same structures in their language, but a loud screech of the right pitch and duration is often used to express rich content and emotion. The lady Paraquins are the ones with all the color. Their green is a bright emerald. Their shoulder feathers are red and their wingtips blue. They are always grooming their feathers or going to a grooming parlor to have it done right. There they sit under feather dryers, reading bird tabloids and eating chocolate-covered nuts. there's no interest in video games. Trying to catch a krill, cod, or ice fish in the sea takes more skill. Plus, you can eat it. Rather than have tall buildings crowded together and anemic little green spots called parks, the Paraguayans use nearly 100% of their land for parks and agriculture. There are many orchards with the finest nut trees. Vegetables such as squash and sweet potatoes are grown to provide a balanced diet. There are fields planted with sunflowers that turn their heliotropic heads to follow Igloo's crazy sun. The sunflower is often pictured in Paraguayan art and is a popular cultural symbol. It is also the state flower of Kansas. That has nothing to do with our story, but I just thought I'd throw it in. Instead of the multiverse portal being located at Igloo's South Pole in a cave, it is in fact located on the equator in the center of a high bluff. If you were to put on your Paraguayan traveling shoes and go there, you might wind up almost anywhere. That is apparently what happened to Alex's parents. Whether they did so on purpose, we'll never know. Oh, I almost forgot. For safety's sake, every Paraguayan puts on his seatbelt about the time Igloo is set to stop and reverse rotation. While the slowing down and stopping is quite gentle, one still can be tossed about a bit. It's not a good time to be putting your best china on the dining room table. If you have a drink in your hand, you can be sure that some of it will spill. Although Paraguayans don't shave, should your father ever go for a visit, tell him not to use a straight razor without checking the time first. On Earth, for many centuries, man thought the sun and stars revolved around Earth, which was the center of everything. But observation of the heavens and especially the planets gave evidence that was wrong, and we eventually sorted it out. So you can imagine how long it took the Paraguayans to figure out Igloo's half-rotation, given that the sun and the stars seemed to be behaving like a car's windshield wiper.